Are we there? Isaiah 52. Yes? Hallelujah. Verse 1. Awake, awake, Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust. Rise up. Sit enthroned, Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck. Daughter Zion, now a captive. For this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing, and without money you will be redeemed. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. At first my people went down to Egypt to live. Lately Assyria has oppressed them. And now what do I have here? Declares the Lord. For my people have been taken away for nothing, and those who rule them mock. Declares the Lord. And all day long my name is constantly blasphemed. Therefore my people will know my name. Therefore in that day they will know that it is I who foretold it. Yes, it is I. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace and bring good tidings, and proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, you watchmen, lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all nations. And the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart. Go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure, you who carry the articles of the Lord's house. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that in your word is instructions for life. It is the instruction and the blueprint of what you want us to do to achieve our destiny. Father, I thank you in advance for what you're teaching. Allow the Spirit of the living God to move forth into the hearts and minds of your people and to touch them, penetrate with your word, Father God, that it be rooted into their heart, into their soul, Lord, that it may produce a harvest in its season. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said amen.
Amen.
What I want to share with you, if you go all the way back to verse 1, what does it say? Wake, oh, someone says, it says, wake up, awake. Now, any time in Scripture that you see that God repeats himself, is he saying it because he's stuttering?
No.
No, he ain't stuttering. He says, pay attention, Sylvia, Sylvia. Now you know what mama call you. You know what mama call you. Martin. Martin Antonio Perez. Now, you know there's something wrong when they start to call you like that, right? I'm getting your attention. The first time I called you, you better listen. But the second time, boy, don't make me call your name twice. Don't make me call your name twice because I'm getting ready to say something to you here, the right here and now. So I'm getting your attention now. Wake up. And who's he telling to wake up? Who's Zion? The church. Anytime in Scripture you see Zion, you're seeing the New Testament church. So when you read that, you're understanding that he's saying to the church to do what? Wake up. Wake up. It's a forewarning. It's a forewarning. I said, Lord, I just finished having, construction here. You know, why are you telling me to wake up? I thought I was awake. I done took my Bob the Builder garb off, and I thought I was ready to get a blessing. And he says, no, wake up. Wake up. Okay, what are we going to wake up to? Wake up to what is about to take place. And what I want you to see, we may even get past number 2. We may just stay at number 1. This is verse 1. Just verse 1. Awake, awake, O Zion, clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Well, that's a promise right there. In other words, you're not going to have your enemy come in and defile you again. He ain't going to come in. Not going to come in. But it didn't say he wasn't going to come. It just said he wasn't going to come in. but be on alert. Let me read it out of the Good News Bible real quick, and I'm not going to read all of it, but just out of the Good News Bible, it reads this way. Jerusalem, be strong and great again. Jerusalem is the church now in its current state. Zion is the state to come when Jesus returns. Jerusalem, the church, be strong and great again. Holy city of God, clothe yourself with splendor. Clothe yourself with splendor. And he's telling the church that. Clothe yourself. So is he talking about what we put on? No? No? But he's talking to us about what we're wearing. And we'll go into detail about that. The heathen will never enter your gates again. Shake yourself free, Jerusalem. Rise from the dust and sit on your throne. Undo the chains that bind you, captive people of Zion. What I want to begin to share with you, and I'll probably do 2 weeks of this, depending on how far we go. The first point I want to make to you is the church needs to wake up and be alert. We need to be ready for what God is doing in you, through you, for people around you. Because you think that God is just doing something just to get to you, Sylvia. He's not doing it just to get to Sylvia. He's doing it to get to Sylvia and Sylvia's influences. He wants to get into your sphere of influence. But if you don't have a sphere of influence because you're an introvert, you don't like to be around people. In other words, you just let me be. Let me just be here. I don't need people around me. I don't like people around. Just leave me here. What is your sphere of influence? Just you. So he has a tendency to call you out. And what he does, he calls you out. Why? So that you can be an influence to others. But what happens with people when they're introverts, they surround themselves with people just like themselves. But how can you surround yourself with people if you don't like people? So how do introverts surround themselves? An introvert is someone that has to be alone. They don't like to be around other people. They cannot communicate with others. They don't do well in group settings. They don't do well in big settings because they'd rather just be left alone. So how do they communicate and gather themselves with other people? How do they do it? You get like-minded people. Now they have something in common. And so what happens, I can talk to you because you're like me and you understand me. But does that make it conducive for your growth? No, you're going to be just like each other and staying just like each other. And you're not ever going to come out of what you're at with each other. You're going to stay the same. You ever seen Bill Gates go around all the poor people and stay around the poor people? Because I need to be around the poor people. No, I can see poor people going around Bill Gates to try to get some information from Bill Gates to understand what he did and how he did it to do something better for themselves. And you know what Bill Gates did that was better than anything else? He failed. He failed. But if you don't fail, how are you ever going to succeed? You have to fail at some things and go back and regroup, refocus, realign yourself to find out what happened in that failure. So then now the ones that are alone, when they're reaching out to somebody, it's like, you know what, this I'm staying the same. Nothing's changing. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying the same way. We've got to get around some other people. And what happens, we have a tendency to want to hold on to some old stuff, some old feelings, some old hurts, some old disappointments, and some old stuff that we don't want anybody to know that we have, so we just hide it and we press it down, we just hide it, put it under the rug, and we leave it there so nobody sees it. But eventually it comes in, comes up, and you have to deal with it again. But if you don't deal with it, you keep pushing it down. Those are like those ones that leave one church, go to another church, go to another church, go to another church, go to another church. Why? Because they don't want to deal with the issue. When you deal with the issue, then you're done with that area and you can move to the next area. And your sphere of influence changes. God is trying to show us that we need to be ready. Stay alert. Be ready for what he wants to do. He wants to work through you. Have you ever tried, as children, tried staying awake for Santa? Huh? I was watching the commercials, how they have those girls, they put the camera out there, and they're watching it from the room. They want to see Santa come, and then they fall asleep, and the dad goes, you know, drops the stuff there. I remember trying to stay awake for Santa. Then you get real wise, you run into the restroom, put water all over you, because you want to stay up to see Santa come. What usually happens? You fall asleep. And then you wake up, oh my God, look, he came! All the cookies are gone, the milk's gone. But the gifts are there. So then all of a sudden you're like, I miss him again. So as you grow up in life, you think, oh, I missed him. I keep missing. And I'm just talking about Santa. But what about when God is telling you, I'm coming, but you can't perceive that I'm here. And then you miss that I'm here for you. Because you're so tied up with everything else. But I'm coming. And when I show up, I want to do something very specific with you that you've been praying and asking of me. But you didn't perceive that I was there. And you missed it. You missed him. He just went right by. God, I've been waiting on you, God. I'm waiting on you. God, that was here. You didn't perceive I was here for you. You allowed things to distract you and you didn't get what you were supposed to get. Wake up. I want you to go to Matthew 8:23, please. Matthew 8 and verse 23. I'm going to read it out of the NIV. This is what I want to share with you, that I believe that we have a tendency to be in this same situation. Matthew 8. And the NIV reads this way. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Isn't that something, how he can be Jesus right there with you in your storm, but you can't perceive that he's there with you. Until all the rain and all the whoosh, then you get real scared. Lord, wake up, Lord! It's like, what is it? You know I'm here with you, but you got to trip out. You go to tripping on everybody that comes around you to help you. You start tripping on them. Oh, me too. Yeah. They come and tell you, it's going to be okay. No, it's not. You don't even know what I'm going through. Oh, haven't you had someone like that? Nana, it's going to be okay. And like, you don't want to hear nothing. You don't want, don't tell me. I got scripture. I know scripture. I pray in tongues too. Yeah. Jesus is like, what's, why are you tripping? I've been here all along. I told you to get in the boat with me. In other words, watch it. The disciples are following Jesus into the boat. Like Jesus didn't know the storm was coming. I didn't. Jesus, oh wow, this showed up all of a sudden. He's saying, wake up to my presence. You wake up to my presence. And once you realize that I'm there, you won't worry about the storms no more.
That's right.
Right on. They say they're not going to come. That's right. But when they do come, mm-hmm. You're going to know he's in there with you.
Right.
But isn't it just like the scripture says that we feel like Jesus is asleep? He's not answering our prayers. That he don't want to hear us because we're just going through so much. He's like, oh, this storm keeps coming around and coming around and coming around and coming around. But Jesus is still asleep. He don't want to answer my texts anymore. He won't answer my email. He blocked it. When I try to send a tweet, he don't respond. And every time I want to FaceTime him, I don't get an answer. What's another one? I sent a video, Vine or whatever. I tried to Skype him, and loss of connection. But he's right there all along, sleeping in the same boat that's in the same storm with you. Have you ever felt like you're in a storm, but you feel like you're alone, but he's there with you the whole time? Well, he says, where is your faith? Where is your faith? I've been proving to you that I'm faithful. I've been proving to you that I will supply all your needs. I've been proving to you that every time you think that you're never going to make it through this storm, you make it through. But you still lose faith. Is there an answer for this? I wish I had something so deep and profound to tell you a way that you're going to understand faith and walk it out and got this thing lickety split. Faith don't work that way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Lord, I need you. I have my hope in something that I don't see. Lord, I need you right now, God. But it don't seem like you're listening. It seems like you're on vacation. It seems like you're asleep somewhere that I can't reach you. It seems like you're not even listening to me because maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I just need to get off the ship. Can you imagine if they would have jumped ship? That's what happens when we get challenged in a storm. We want to jump ship. I don't want to deal with this. I'm done. And I ain't going to deal with this. I'm not sure. What for?
So what would have happened?
They would have drowned is what would have happened. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Because what happens is we want to jump ship and then we're drowning. And then we're crying, oh, Jesus, help me, help me. He was right there. And you were in the greatest protection of all with him in the ship. What does it say? That the waves came over the boat. So it wasn't just a little bit of wave. Hey, Mira. No, it was, oh, look at that wave. Oh, Lord. Lord. Lord! Jesus woke up with the Bible's coming down like this. What is wrong with you? That's why he was mad. You ever been waking up and you were in a deep sleep? You know, the one where the eyeballs are going like this, the REM, you know. And somebody wakes you up, what? You get scared. And he responded in a way, where is your faith? You've been with me this whole time. You've seen me do so much. Here's what he proves to them now. I have everything in control. Speaks to the waves and the wind. And immediately it stops. Now we all know the story. You've heard it many times. Many times. But why doesn't it bring us peace no more? Why doesn't it change? Why do the storms still come? He's like, hello? Will you stay awake, Jesus? He's like, no, I don't sleep nor slumber. It is your faith that sleeps and slumbers. My eyes don't need to be open to know what's going on in your circumstance. My eyes don't need to be open to get the mocos out the eye to see what you're going through. I always know what you're going through, and I always know the outcome. Your crying doesn't change the circumstance, but only to reveal your little faith. Have you ever had a child throw a temper tantrum? Yeah, I do that every week, but I don't get the result that I'm asking. Boy, I just throw my tantrum just because it feels good to get it out. Because if not, it just stays right inside of you. And boy, does it tear you up. You get so mad, you get bitter, and you get to the point you don't want to deal with folks no more. Jesus! You better do something! I'm about to hurt somebody. He's like, yeah, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt the relationship you're in. You're going to hurt your spouse. You're going to hurt the relationship with your pastor. You're going to hurt somebody. Am I talking to y'all? Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? What happens is we have the issues of life to come, but God is trying to say, will you wake up to my presence, please? Church, wake up to my presence. Wake up to my promises. And wake up to know the fact that I'm here for you. When I died on the cross, it wasn't finished. His work was finished. Yours began. What work is that, God? Because I'm remaking you into a perfect image. And I've got to clean some things up in your life. And it starts with our mind. Jesus had to wake up to prove the faith that they didn't have. But he's telling in Isaiah 52 for the church to wake up. Because they're about to go into bondage. They're not there yet, but they're about to. But he makes a promise to them that they will come out. And when you see that they come out, they're going to come out. And he is going to remove the bonds of wickedness around their neck. Why the neck? Have you ever seen a stray dog run around and you can go and pick it up, but if you pick it up by the, what is it called, the scruff? Yeah. When you pick it up like that, it won't yelp. It'll be scared. It'll put its tail between its legs, but it's afraid of what you're going to do. When we run astray from God, what happens is when the authority comes in to try to get you, to protect you, he's going to hurt me. He's going to wound me. She's going to destroy me. In reality, they're protecting you so that you don't get hurt. How many of you see a little stray dog running across the street like, oh, Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh, they made it. Because you don't want to see the dog get hurt, right? But if you were to get out there in a dangerous situation to go there and try to grab that dog yourself, good luck, because you could get hurt too. So it's best to know that God is there with you, even in your storm. When he's telling you, first of all, the point one I want to make is he's telling the church to wake up. And that he's awakened to your fears. He's awakened to your lack of faith in certain areas. He works on that. He's not a daddy that's going to whoop you because of your lack of faith. He didn't whoop them. What he did is he helped them. And he showed his deity that even the winds and the rain and the waves obeyed him. He always shows a new facet of him in your circumstance. You understand? Point two that I want to make as we read on Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52 is a scripture that the Lord has been showing me that we need to understand as a body of Christ that he wants for us to always be ready. He says, clothe yourself with strength. So the second point that I want to make is your wardrobe. Now, I ain't talking about, you know, the holy jeans, the parachute pants from the 80s, the bandanas wrapped around your legs and around your arms because you're stuck in the 80s. And you want to be like Van Halen and Sammy Hagar. Or you decide you want to keep your hair like a mullet because you just missed the achy, breaky heart. And what I'm trying to say is, if you were to still be wearing that, you'd be stuck in an error, right? And we would all know that error right away, especially if you were to walk in and you were to have the pink hair and you had it like those, remember the mullet and then the mohawk, and you know, and then if you had those parachute pants with all the zippers, I mean, zipper here, zipper there, all these kind of zippers. You had those parachute pants that when you were like, remember that? And if you just so happen to be wearing those Reeboks, the red Reeboks with the head with the black parachute pants, then you know there was a high top ones, and you know that you kind of stuck in an error. Let's get into this Pat Benatar. What did Pat Benatar hairdo? Huh? And then you had those leggings that come down right here. Huh? Because, you know, you just like that style. What was it on sweatbands with, like, what was her name from Xanadu? The one, Olivia Newton-John. Okay. What about the polyester with the white suit so we can be like John Travolta? Now, Don Johnson, whoa, what you say now? Come on now. We got to wear the espadrilles. They came back. Now they call them Toms now, but it's all right. But we get caught up with what we wear to identify who we are. So he addresses Zion saying, awake, awake, and put on your Sunday best. That's what he says. That's what Scripture says. Put on your Sunday, put on your strength. Why? Because you're about to experience something fresh in you, but if you're not ready for it, you're going to miss it. And what have I always said here in this ministry? Stay ready. Because you never know when God is about to use you to do something very great and spectacular for the kingdom of God, for His glory. Be ready. Now, back in the day, how many of y'all remember this group that wore platforms that were about way up to here?
Oh, yeah.
Kiss, baby. You remember Kiss? And then they had that paint all over their face and everything. Good music. Hey, good music. We still sing it every now and then, but you don't know about this one. Y'all a little bit too young. And then Gene Simmons, then we'd roll out that tongue. But it would be a little strange for you to be wearing that outfit now, wouldn't it? Be a little strange. Why would it be strange? Because time has moved on, but you're stuck in that time. And when you're stuck in that time, you have a tendency to keep your mind in that frame. Okay, let's go back to the introvert. The person that doesn't want to change the area of influence is stuck in that mindset that this is okay. Who are they impacting? Nobody. That's it. The area of influence in your life sometimes is going to be watching. I'm going to just paint a picture for you. All of a sudden, you're going to see someone walk in here with a 3-piece suit from Armani. With alligator shoes, not pleather, but real leather. Now, a Rolex watch. A platinum ring. The glasses, their eyeglasses, are studded on the side with diamonds. Do they got money?
Yeah.
It looks just like it, right? Why? Because immediately what we do, what we're trained to do. Think you all down a bag of chisel? That's the money. This is what you do. This is what you do. He goes and sits down. You going to go to the front door? What car is outside? They got a Maserati. You got some money. But brother, did you get a tithing envelope? Did you? The Lord told me you're going to bless me. Now watch. Right? Watch. Now look. Why? Because whatever the work has been, whatever the work has done, whatever the labor has been put there, you didn't see it. You only saw the outcome. You didn't see the struggles. You didn't see the failures. You didn't see all the stuff coming against them and all the people backstabbing them. You're only seeing the end result. And then you judge the end result. You know, I'm just talking to you about what you wear. Now, that's fine and dandy. Let's get a woman walk in here with some Jimmy Choo's. Jimmy Choo's. Mm-hmm. Maybe now this out your league. Way out there. Because I... And then, what's a real expensive bag? What's a real? Who? Okay. Birkin. Coach. $20,000 for a bag? Birkin is $20,000 for a bag? Birkin, okay, for a bag. It must come with money in it already. But look, what I'm saying. Let her walk in. Uh-huh, with that bag like this, clutching it right here. Uh-huh. What's another designer shoe? What is it? What? Louis, what else? A who? Red Sole. Louis Vuitton? Okay, and then a nice dress. What's this? With the bling bling. Now, usually the bling bling on a woman is loud. They want, yeah, it's going to sound just like that. So when they're praising and worship, and that's not even the tambourine, that's all the bling. Now watch. Watch this. You're looking at success. You're looking at the end result, but you don't know the process. You don't know the process that you've been through, what they've gone through, or what they're still in, regardless of what they're wearing. And what he's trying to get to us is put on your very best so that when they see you, they know it's not what this is. What he's saying is put on joy, put on peace, put on meekness, humility, put on the love of God. And who are you wearing? I'm wearing Jesus Christ, baby. And when you look at my clothes, don't worry about it having just a black shoe and a brown shoe, because I just got what I got, and I'm wearing when I'm wearing it, but they're shined. But baby, I tell you, I'll pray for you any day. I will stay on my face praying for your issue. I will make it through and stand in the gap for you, because I believe that what I do for others, others will do for me. Amen. He's not concerned about how you look on the outside. He's more concerned about what you're wearing on the inside. So when he tells Jerusalem, wake up, and put on. Put on your best. Put on your best. Best. In other words, quit playing around with the mascara and those eyelashes that fall off every time you cry. I had to throw that one in there, buddy. I had to throw it in. Sometimes I see you guys, y'all pray, Or they do this one, they pull that out and they fold it in a napkin and they hold it. They hold it. So when they get home, they pull that glue off and they're going. I see everything, girl. I'm sitting over here like, hallelujah. But, oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, there she goes again now. But wait, what I'm trying to say is God is trying to get you to understand he works from the inside out. That after you go through that process and you stretch your stuff with everything you got that he has blessed you with, and don't worry about what people say. You walk with your head straight up. And you know that God blessed you so they can see the glory of God and say, God has been good to you. I'm going to stand this like a... What happens when you happen to walk in and four of y'all with brand new clothes, brand new purses, brand new computer bag, brand new shoes, but then you see your struggles. Then you see your struggles. They didn't see what you went through. They haven't seen what you've been through. They don't know what you're going through right now. They only see the outside. But those that have been with you the whole time, that knew your process and knew what you've been going through, know how to celebrate with you. Right? Why do you think God's saying, I don't want you to be alone, introvert? I don't want you to be isolated. I want you to be amongst people so that when I bless you and bring you out of where you were once at, they're going to say, that is nothing but God. And he worked from the inside out, because even through the process of losing your faith and crying out to God during your storms, He still silenced the storm and got them to another side. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're only on verse one. Wake up, wake up. Put on the wardrobe from within. Talking about what are you wearing? Are you wearing what he said for you to wear? You said it, Jeff. Do you wake up and you don't put on the full armor? I don't want to go there yet. I'm going to stay on this one for a little bit. Okay. Or do you go into your closet and fight with the devil all the time because nothing fits because you... The Lord's been good to me. Nah, you've just been eating so much bean and cheese tacos because you don't have nothing else to be eating. You've just eaten the bean and cheese tacos. Your belly's getting big and you get mad inside your closet because nothing fits. Ain't nobody to blame. Ain't nobody to blame but you because you... Man, give me some guacamole and give me extra cheese. And then you get mad because the clothes don't fit. You got to make a hole in the belly. It fit, man. It fits now. Don't sneeze. It's it. You see that commercial when they put a... And they put the button on, and then they go, ah. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. Don't say, God, you haven't blessed me. I need a new wardrobe. Lose weight. Change your eating habits. Go to the gym and work out instead of just sitting in the sauna and just sweat. Oh, I'm losing so much weight. I mean, I'm losing so much weight. I've been in the sauna sweating. You're sweating because you're hot. Your body needs to cool off. So the sweat comes. You get cool. That is doing its job. You're not losing weight. And then you go out and you're going to have a double cheeseburger, fries, and give me the chocolate shake and supersize that I worked out today. Wash it out with a Diet Coke. Wash it with a Diet Coke. Yeah, Diet Coke. What? What? No, no. Maybe it's time that we go into our closet. Marty, oh boy. Y'all intercessors need to pray for me. Get rid of the clothes you have for 3 years. When you were a size 33. And you're 40 now. Same. That's my inspiration. It's not inspiration. That's desperation. No. Get in your closet. Let's clean some stuff out. That's going to Goodwill. You know what? That's going to Medina's children. Who needs to get blessed? Let me give you some slacks that still have tags on it. Because they ain't fitting no more. I was at a 36 thing. Remember that fast we did? The liquid one. You remember the liquid one? We put everything in a blender. We just... As long as it came out liquid, we were fasting, right? Lost all this kind of weight. Ooh, let me that. I was like, yeah, tighten your belt real big, right? Mom, I need new pants because they don't fit. I lost so much weight. Oh, you're in a 36 meetup? Praise God. Come off the fast and 40. How do we go from 36 to 40 just like that in 1 week? Get in the closet, get rid of some stuff. Make room for the new. Get rid of the old. Get rid of the old. And let's get ready for the new. Holding on to shoes that have holes on the bottom just because they fit your feet right because they swelled, you know. and they stretch with you. And they're the best. Oh, these feel real good. Yeah, they ain't no more support in them, but you're just walking flat-footed. Get rid of some stuff. Listen, I know. Oh, watch this. They ain't going to like this one, buddy. They ain't going to like it. Get rid of the stuff that you had in high school. I know you're 50 now, but get rid of it. Because that was from brother so-and-so that was the captain of the football team, and he gave me that jacket. And every time your husband asks you, what is that? Oh, it was, you know, I don't know. It's been in here for a while.
But you moved like 15 times and you still got it here. Matter of fact, you still got it in plastic. What's going on? It could have been. It just could have been. Shut your mouth. Get rid of it. Oh, Lord. Pray. Y'all don't pray for me. Y'all don't pray for me. I shouldn't be preaching stuff like this. Woo, hallelujah. How about the time when you went through the spring cleaning and you put everything and forget the boxes, just put it in trash bags. And then you're taking it down the stairs, you're like, I wonder what's in the bag. Mira, this is my favorite shirt. This was that time when I lifted 300 pounds. That was back in high school. You ain't gonna do that. Give it. Oh, but it's monumental. No, baby. It's been in there so long that you think that you're able to get back to those glory days. No. When stuff's put in a bag to get rid of it. What happens with the issues in our life, we go back through the bag that we were trying to get rid of and we pull out the things that have been a part of us for so long and we continue to keep it and we hang it right back in our closets. I know rejection looks good on me sometimes, but I can mask it to make it look like I'm just praying real hard. I'll keep that rejection just a little bit. What else is in there? Bitterness. I'm going to keep that one because every now and then someone makes me mad and I'll just say it was righteous indignation. You got rejection, bitterness. I'll be all right. I could throw it, but let me keep a little bit of that jealousy because that jealousy will make me be guarded and protected and I can use that as being a watchman on the wall. Oh yeah, someone got jealousy, bitterness, and rejection. Yeah, let's throw the rest away. Let's throw the rest. So you're dragging that out because you're going to get rid of it. You know what? I don't know if I should grab this one because if I grab this one, they're going to know I took it out. Because that one, I don't know how I'm going to hide it. I need to get rid of it, but I don't know how I'm going to get rid of it. I know what I'll do. Yeah. Yeah, let me pull out this shirt. My deceitful shirt. But let me hide it under the new one of trust. But I put deceit under trust so people can trust me and I can get what I want. So every now and then, when I feel like I'm being rejected, I'll just use trust to get what I want. And if I ever get to the point where I'm getting exposed, I'll put that coat on of manipulation so nobody can see the real issue. Yeah, you know I was going that way, huh? But we go through the whole thing and in our closet to get rid of the things that we don't wear no more. It's out of season. It doesn't look good. It's all faded, whatever. But we won't deal with the stuff that's inside this closet. He's telling you to put on. Wake up, first of all. Wake up. Be alert. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Church, I'm going to talk to you a little bit, church. Wake up. Now put on your garments. Splendor. Now we all know now we're going to put on a full armor. Full armor that reads in Ephesians 6:10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Finally, be strong. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist.
with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted for the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up your shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is more important right here. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Be alert. And always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. My question to you is, when did you take off the armor? He never instructed us to take it off. Exactly. When you come into the kingdom of God, wear it. Don't take it off. Because how many of you have been attacked in your dreams? You know the ones where you wake up, you're speaking in tongues because it's something that's coming at you. Or, Jesus! And it wakes you up out of that sleep? Yeah. He doesn't stop because you're sleeping, because he doesn't sleep. God is trying to tell you, the church, wake up and suit up. Suit up. As he's telling Jerusalem this, he's telling them because they're about to go into captivity, not right away. Like most of us, we don't realize captivity is coming our way because it takes a long time to get captive. I'm just going to try a little hit of this joint. It's just a little hit. Ain't nothing. It's medicinal. Cataracts. You know, they made it legal now, so I just go get it. I'll move to Colorado or something. You don't see it to be an issue. You don't see it to be bondage until later when it's too late. The enemy is sly. He's quick. He's quick to get you just a little bit off. Just a little bit. So the first point I made was wake up. Number two was the wardrobe. Number three, the warning sign that says no trespassing. No trespassing. You know what that warning sign is? To the ones that keep speaking negative influences into your ears. He's telling the church to wake up so that those uncircumcised and the ones that defile you will no longer come back and defile you again. We have a responsibility to keep those people out of our ears. But we're so welcoming for the gossip. What happened? Yeah, who? She did. Nombre, are you serious? Nah. What happened? Joy, are you serious that happened? Was it with so-and-so? I bet you it was, wasn't it? What'd you do? You just now got into agreement with the conversation that didn't benefit anybody, but it began to tear down at your inner man. And I'll leave it there until next week. You there until next week? Yep. I got, I'll finish on that next week. The warning signs and no trespassing. Maybe I'll finish. Just because you know somebody and they always speak negative to you about certain issues, that don't mean they're your friend. Just because you have something in common, introvert. I'm going to get around people that are just like me. I'm going to attract people just like me. So if I like gossip, guess what's going to happen? More gossip's coming to me. If I like to slander people and lie about people, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to get around people that like to do that. And I'm going to play right into it. The Bible clearly states to us that we are not to gossip, slander, or even belittle any of the Christians or speak foul of them. Every single one of them is God's child. But the more you let someone into your ear gates, and they're kind of, nah, 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 and you're like, wow, what happened, really? Well, did you know about this one, though? You didn't? I didn't think you did, but I'm going to tell you about it. Because since you told me that, now we're in agreement that it's got to be confidential. It's just between me and you and Sister Susie and Brother Bob. Because what happens is we start to talk to one another that we think that we can confide in. But in reality, all you're doing is dumping in that temple. I don't know about you. Do you want me to put trash all over you?
No.
Let me just dump the trash can on you. Here you go. And you're like, yeah, give me some more. Does that feel good? Give me some more. No. But what happens is we'll listen to all that mess. We'll allow it to take root. And guess what? It begins to frame the individual that they're talking about, or that you're talking to somebody about. And that individual gets framed to something they knew nothing of. A lot of it has to do with lies. Lies or misperception, because your perception is your reality doesn't make it truth. Your perception is your reality, but your reality isn't necessarily truth. And it's up to us to realize that when you see someone, when they're going through, tells you very clearly, pray. Pray for them. And you don't have to go to them, Sylvia, I know you're going through, but I've been praying for you. It's like Christians always want to do that. You know, I know you're going through some stuff, and the Lord woke me up, and I've been praying for you. You know what I do, Sylvia? What did he have you pray for me? Well, I just prayed in tongues, and then you didn't pray for me. Mm-mm. You just want me to know that you're praying for me because you want to find out what's there. Man, I've been in this thing for a long time, guys. I've been in this for a long time. And I know when people say, Pastor, I've been praying for you. Really? What'd you pray about? Well, I don't know. Then you didn't pray. Well, the Lord has you in my spirit. No, you said you've been praying for me. Not that I've been in your spirit. What are you praying for me? Man, I'm not going to tell you I'm praying. Well, no. You came to me. You came to me. Pastor, I'm praying for you. Tell me what you've been praying on. Maybe I'm looking for an answer. Tell me what the answer is. Tell me what God is revealing to you that he's not revealing to me. Tell me. You don't know how tired I get. I get sick and tired of it. I do. Have you had someone say, I know you've been going through this. I've been praying for you. I've been laying here. I've been just praying. And then you just say, oh, amen, thank you. Yeah. Amen, thank you. And you're like, put them on the spot. What have you been praying? And how have you been praying? Guess what you're going to find out? You're going to find out the motive of the individual.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you'll find out. Yeah. But if you don't ask it, guess what will happen? It'll keep happening.
Yeah.
It'll keep happening. And it won't stop. That's not how Jesus did it. Jesus went to the Father in secret and in private. He even told the disciples, come with me. Now stay here. Right? Out of the 12, okay, you, and you, come with me. Stay here. Do we go? What do we do? Do I stay? Go? Okay. Stay? I'm going to go sleep. He goes and prays. It says just a stone throw away. But it doesn't say they understood what he prayed. Didn't even say that they heard him pray. And what he prayed. Correct? That should be an indication for us. When God says pray for somebody, just pray. You don't need to tell them nothing. You don't have to say nothing. And then when you get the phone call from that individual, the Lord told me to call you and I don't know why. Oh. Okay. Yeah, I've been seeking the Lord for you. Well, what does it have to do with? I've been praying about this, and I don't know if it bears witness with you, and I may be off. It's okay if you don't know. The error is when we think we know and we tell them. Guess what that did? Caused an offense. Caused an offense. So we go back now. Let me put this rejection shirt back on. I can't believe they even think that of me. Maybe it is really me. Maybe I really am that way. And I put off that spirit. Maybe, guess what? You just put that person in bondage. You understand? Because they were already suffering with something that they should have gotten rid of, but they didn't. What's the trick of the enemy? To bring back the thing that you're trying to get rid of. This says this. You may deal with the spirit and get rid of it, but seven more coming back. And it's looking to see if the house is occupied. Occupied with what? The opposite of what left. So if you're getting rid of rejection, guess what you need to put in there? Acceptance. Not from people. God. So that when a person rejects you, you already know you're accepted. And it no longer affects that rejection because it's filled with acceptance. That's how you deal with things. That's how you deal with it. Next week, I'm going to go over some three more things. Shake off the dust, rise, and number six will be a secret for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, Lord, I'd rather preach instead of teach. Really would. Because in the teaching, sometimes I get caught up and I try to preach and then, pull back. Finish what you got to start. What do you mean finish what I got to start? I haven't started. I know. Finish what you got to start. And they see, like, Pastor, you don't preach. I don't know what I'm going to do. Sometimes God just wants to see if you'll be obedient. Will you be obedient and teach us? I don't want to teach this. Teach it. Okay. Because in the end result, you'll see the blessing in the end. Are we going to clean the closet out? Huh? Don't be bringing all those clothes over here. I wasn't talking about clothes. I was talking about other issues. But if you have those clothes, you know those clothes I was talking about. If you have those clothes, don't be wearing the platforms here on Sunday either. See, someone be breaking their ankle. I got to pray for your ankle because you're wearing the platform that don't fit you no more. I'm telling you. Clean out the closet. Clean out that temple. Clean it out. I know we call it spring cleaning or the end of the year cleaning. We should be constantly going through and checking ourselves. Ourselves. God shouldn't always have to check you. You know what's there. You do. It's a part of you. Go through, deal with that issue, and let's get rid of it. And let's fill it with something that God wants to give you, which is greater than what you've been dealing with. He wants to bless you. He does. And He wants to get that blessing right to you. But more importantly, He wants to get you whole. Whole. Well, Pastor, just the way I am. No, that's the way you choose to be. That's the way you choose to be. Let Him be the one to help you. And that help comes from the Lord. He'll show you a way. He'll show you a new way to deal with something. But it takes you to realize some of the issues in your life may cause you to fail some things in your life as well. Reevaluate those failures to make them your success. The individual, I don't know if you guys have the YouVersion Bible app. The YouVersion, the Bible app. If you have that, you would know that the creators of that were Greg Rochelle and his church. But it wasn't an app. It was an actual website that failed tremendously over and over. It failed so much that they were going to scrap the whole deal and not use it. It was a God idea. God inspired, God breathed, and they went forth and did it. But it wasn't until they failed numerous times that Apple finally said, hey, we're making apps for our phones and our tablets. So they converted the website to the app, and it took off. Your greatest failure could be your greatest reward. If you just regroup and refocus and put some things in different perspective. Your failures come in your life does not mean that you're a failure. It just means that maybe we got to do things differently to get a different result. God has inspired many different ideas, inventions, but if we don't listen, we're asleep. And He's trying to get the church to wake up. Will you wake up? Will you let Him do it? Or will you stay in your mess because you don't want anybody telling you anything, much less God? You make that choice. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you search your heart. You search your mind. and let God touch you in that place that you've been trying to clean out the closet, but you seem to keep picking it back up out of the bag and hanging it up and reusing it over and over. This is not to bring condemnation and judgment on you. This is not to make you feel bad. This is to give you hope that He is going to do and finish what He started in you. It's to make you whole. And if you know that that's you, right now, just where you're sitting, you tell Him, because He knows your thoughts. He knows what's in your heart. He knows before you even think it, He knows it. Say, God, that's that area I need help in, and I know that you know. And you know that I know that you know. Help me with it. Help me overcome it. Teach me a new way. And whatever I have failed in, let that be my greatest reward, is to be victorious in my failures. Well, Father, I just thank you right now for each and every individual that is here tonight and those listening by the podcast, that you have an understanding that He wants to make you whole and make you just like Jesus. We may have faults, we may mess up, we may have a tendency to go back to our ways. But He's there in the boat in the middle of your storm to help you so that you don't drown in your storm. Even when you're trying to clean up the areas of your life, know that the strength comes from God and your victory comes through His blood. Lord, now bless them. Keep them. Hold them in your loving arms. Spread your wings, O God, and gather your people under the wings of the Most High. Gather them, God, and remove the yoke of oppression from around their neck so they can be free and walk free in the wholeness that you created them to be. Open the doors, Father, that have been shut or that we have closed. Open the doors, O God, let us walk through, run through, and know by faith that you are doing it for your children because you love us. And I thank you that we will be specific, God, even if it is writing the vision down and making it plain so that all that do read it and hear it will agree with you and see it and run with you with it, to it. I thank you that we're not isolated or introverts, but we're converts. We're converts into the kingdom of God, to know that we're children of God and that we have a level of influence and a sphere of influence that's greater than we've ever known. Let the Spirit of the living God go forth and touch each and every heart. Touch their minds, renew their mind, and renew and fill their spirit, God. We thank you in advance for them. We thank you for victory, God, as we enter into this new season, a new year. Father, I thank you that we will see victory right around the corner, even this week. We thank you in advance, God, because your eye is kept on your word, and we are your word in fulfillment. Just like you keep the eye on the sparrow, Lord. I thank you that we're greater than the sparrow, and that we can trust you in everything we need. You are El Shaddai. You are everything that encompasses everything. You're all-knowing. You're omnipresent. You are Jehovah Shammah. You are there in my circumstance. You are my provider, and you are my healer. And I thank you in advance for the areas of my life that need healing and provision. And I thank you that whatever is lacking in my life will be exactly what I will be flourishing in. I thank you for a turnaround blessing, God, and the lives of your people. And in this very hour that we can say, on that day, the Lord has blessed his children. And I thank you that that day is now. Father, I just thank you, and I pray for protection of your precious children. As I plead the blood of Jesus from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, that you bless them coming and going. You bless them in the city. You bless them in the field. That they know that they are the head and not the tail. That they're blessed coming and going. That they remain and stay blessed. But but they're awake and ready, and stay ready for your blessings, God. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and receive it. And all those God's children said amen. Amen. I love